Philippians 4 and verse 13. Hallelujah. Let's pray before we read it. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the opportunity to be in your word and in your spirit and in your plan this morning. I thank you that your perfect plan is coming to pass and is presenting itself to us here today. We commit to entering into it and not falling behind. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This should be good. Philippians 4 and verse 13. I wish that I could do something. Is that, no, that wasn't it. That's the New Modern Translation. I can do. Say, I can do.
I can do.
All things.
All things.
Through.
Through.
Christ.
Christ.
Which strengthens me. You know, there's a phrase that I just can't stand hearing anymore from Christians. Is the words, I can't. It just bothers me. It hits me in the ear and it grates in there. It's like somebody's scratching their fingers on a chalkboard. Brother, you got a chalkboard in your head? I think so. Because that's what it feels like. And you hear people say it all the time. I can't. I can't this. I can't this. I can't. Just a pet peeve. I thought I'd start out with a pet peeve this morning. Say, I can't do. No, don't say that. Right? No, I can do. I can do. I realize you might not think you can do something, and there's stuff you shouldn't be doing too, but you know, we're talking in the positive realm here where I just can't do it. I can't make it through. I can't do this. Well, then either you're lying or God is, and I choose him, not you. And people don't like me. Well, you're the liar. Don't they love that? Don't lie to me. All right. Off my pet peeve. Say, get off your pet peeve. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, God started speaking to me this week about this verse. There's a lot more in that verse than what you think is in that verse. You think... Are you here?
Yeah.
You think that that just is that you can do all the things that you want to do and all the things in your life and all the stuff that you think you're supposed to be doing. Well, you would be wrong. You can do all things that God has for you. And frankly, some of the things he told me to tell you this morning, I'm going to tell you in a minute. Frankly, you haven't even started doing them yet. So you're trying to apply this verse of scripture to something it has nothing to do with. I can do my job through Christ who strengthens me. Sure. If you want to be low-level baby Christian. Say, I want to be low-level baby Christian. See, nobody's going to say anything this morning. Usually I got you saying all kinds of stuff. Be like, oh, I'm not saying that anymore. Low-level baby Christianity is garbage. I hope you know I'm feeling my oats this morning, so I'm just going to let things fly. Because I'm tired of it. I'm tired of a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things that should not be going on that are going on. It's because we've been sitting here being little pansy baby Christians all day long. Mm-hmm. Every day. Is this great?
It is.
I don't know, if I get off into just yelling and stomping and being an idiot, throw something at me, it's okay. I'll probably just get louder. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Okay, we'll begin with what I believe God told me to tell you. Your great wealth. Listen, say great wealth.
Great wealth.
See, now you said that, okay.
Yes.
Your great wealth. Say great wealth.
Great wealth.
Now, I'm not talking your piddly peon wealth that is just by you working a job. You got a paycheck. Ooh, is that your great wealth? Do you run out of the building? Do you retire? Do you sail to Bermuda on your new yacht? Do you buy airplanes for ministries? Well, you haven't bought mine yet, Chris. Get busy. Your great wealth, say great wealth,
great wealth,
has nothing to do with what you are doing now. Nothing to do with what you're doing now. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't have good wealth. It doesn't mean God isn't going to supply your needs. It doesn't mean God isn't going to bring you up as far as he can. But there's something that you haven't seen yet. There's a place you haven't gone, and there's a place you need to go, and if you don't go there, your great wealth can't come, because your great wealth comes in a place where you aren't even doing anything with that right now. It's different, and it's in this verse of scripture. I can do that through Christ which strengthens me. See, there's things that you can't do right now by yourself. And that's where we are most of the day. We go day after day doing the things we can do by ourselves. But that's not where God's wealth is for you. God's wealth for you is in this place. And you have to go there. And there's a price to be paid. And if you don't pay the price, you don't go there. You just stay where you are. And that's okay. I'm not mad at you. God's not mad at you. That's good. And that's acceptable. But that's not God's perfect will for you. And if you want the perfect plan of God, you're going to have to pay the price. And it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just fall like ripe fruit off a tree. You have to do something, and you have to go there and get it. It's not coming to you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's not going to come to you. And it's coming to me. No, it's not. You go to it. That means you change and go to it. That means you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. I'm starting to see this now.
Yes.
You're starting to pick the fruit off the tree of life that changes you into something that you aren't. I don't like this message. I want to be who I am. Well, that's why nobody likes you. Is this a good message? I mean, I am all right. I like you as a person. You may like me as a person. Probably not. You might not like me as a person. But, you know, frankly, that doesn't have anything to do with anything. Give me a break. I don't like the way you do your hair. I don't like Who cares? That's garbage. You like this? Garbage. I don't know. It just feels good this morning. I just keep doing that. But people, I'm telling you, Jane, people won't like you anymore when you get in the plan of God. It's probably going to be worse. But you'll get a whole other group of friends. You get a whole other group of angelic friends and friends that are with you on the same level, that are in the perfect will of God. It's like an elite group of people. You want to be in the elite group? You want to be on the muck squad. Boy, I'm having fun this morning. Let me just say this. I feel like I've been putting this off for a couple weeks. God gave this to me a couple weeks ago. I need to just say it. So I wrote it down so I could say it right. Say it right.
Say it right.
Yeah, you got to learn how to talk. You got to talk with authority in your words. You got to learn that you walk with God by saying. And that's why, you know, it's so important to say the right thing and not say the wrong thing. That come out right?
Yeah.
All right, thanks. In these 25 years of ministry, and I counted them up, I've been in the ministry for 25 years. This is going into my 26th will be coming up here. But in 25 years of ministry, I have found that if people receive me as a good teacher, I can teach them something good. Brilliant, brother. If people receive me as a good teacher, guess what? I can teach them something good. If people receive me as pastor, I can help them and give them great advice. Because they're receiving me that way. But if people receive me as a prophet, standing in the office of the prophet, I can radically change their lives and take them to a place they've never been before. And really, a lot of that's up to you. It's how you receive what I say and what it does to you. Amen. Right? Mm-hmm. I had a lot of people are real happy to receive me as a teacher. He taught me something good. Yippee-yay, let's skip together. We'll have a tickle fight. I don't like it. And people receive me as pastor, that's fine. I can give them great advice. That anointing will come on me. I'll just tell you something I didn't even think of before, and it'll just do something. And I'm good with that. People need pastoral help, right? I hesitate to put the word counseling in there because you don't really need counseling. You need to straighten up and fly right, brother. That's usually the way it comes up. But if people receive me as a prophet, standing in the office of the prophet, I can take them someplace that they can't go, frankly, by themselves. I can take them somewhere. And frankly, it works better for me, too. I can tell I'm in that office this morning saying things. And the notes that I say, they come out stronger and they do something. Say they do something. You get it? All right. Are you here?
Yes.
Do you want God's best?
Yes.
It's a question you have to answer for yourself. I can't answer it for you. Because frankly, when most of you look at you, I can go, no, you don't. That's not up to me to decide, is it? I can literally drive around all day long, point at people and say, you don't want God's best, you don't want God's best, you don't want... Why? Because their lives don't represent them wanting God's best. They're not doing the things that you got to do to have God's best in your life. And God's best is stupidly greater than all the other marginal stuff in his good and permissible will. Right? And we're going to get there. Because I'll keep breathing down your neck till you get there. And you don't want me breathing down your neck. That's disgusting. Especially on a hot day like today. It's like, quit messing up my tail. What was that, Bugs Bunny? Remember that? Quit breathing on my tail. You don't remember it well. We'll turn you on to that a little later. So if people can receive me as a prophet standing in the office of the prophet, I can take them somewhere that I can't take them there in the other office. You understand, I can teach them something. That's nice. Hey, taught me something. I can give you some good counsel, straighten up and fly right, right? But I'm not able to take you the place where you need to be taken unless you receive me in that office. You understand? Prophets are extremists. Everything's black or white. Not racially, you understand. But it's black or white. It's just, it's either, it is or... God said this, deal with it. That's the way the message comes across. And you know, that's how I preach all the time. This is the way it is, deal with it. This is your problem, change. Right? If you don't, you're a baby. I said all the babies in the back with their little pacifiers. Change their diapers all the time. That's what most churches are filled up. You want to go into the ministry? You can become a diaper changer. Most churches. I don't like diapers. Especially stinky ones. Who likes diapers in here? Anybody like diapers? I mean, we try to get the babies out of the diaper as soon as possible. But not in the church. Not in the modern church. We try to keep them in the diapers. We try to get the best diapers. And we try to make these diapers the fanciest and most beautiful diapers. They're still diapers. These are electronic diapers. These are great. And the modern church is designed to keep people in the baby state. Why? Because they don't want them. They don't want them anywhere else. Easier to control. Don't get me started on control. Got my gun on this morning. Prophets are extremists. It's black or white. God said it. Deal with it. Right? There's no compassion for compromise. You don't want to compromise? You want to compromise? I don't want anything to do with you anymore. That's just the way it comes across. It sounds like it's not walking in love, but it is. That's true love. Is it not? You love your children, you discipline them, right? Otherwise, they grow up weird and screwy. You spank them often, whether they need it or not. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about child abuse, but I mean, I remember Olivia as a little girl. She'd go a long time without needing to get spanked. So I'd say, you know, I didn't spank you in a long time. Get over here. And she'd go, I didn't do anything wrong. And then I go, that's probably right. I wouldn't do it. Right? You want your kid running out in the road? No, you're going to discipline them. You're going to teach them not to run out in the road. Why? Because you love them. You don't want them to get run over by a car. Right? This is what you do. Well, this is the way the church. And you try to get people out of their diapers. You tried to. Did you enjoy diapers on your kid? Did you enjoy doing that? What did you do? You tried to potty train them as early as possible, and then we were all proud. My daughter was potty trained by 4 weeks old. Yeah. Wow. I doubt it, but I'm impressed. We got people that are 75 years old, they're still not potty trained. I better get off of this. So there's no compassion for compromise. You get it? And you see why? Because God said something. What are you going to compromise?
He said it, but it's okay.
No, he said it. Deal with it. Quit being a baby. All right. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Do you want God's best? Romans chapter 12. We'll try to make this quick. As possible. It's like taking off a band-aid. You don't want to pull it off slow, you want to yank it off, right? The baby way is to pull it off slow, and each and every hair pulls individually. Pull a band-aid or something, or you rip that thing off when you're not even looking. Romans chapter 12, are you there?
Yeah.
Verse 1, I beseech you. Who? You. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that who? You present your bodies a living sacrifice. Does this sound good in any way? What's a living sacrifice? It'd be better if you were, you know, dead, then they could sacrifice, but that's not sacrifice. It's a living sacrifice. It stays alive. It's the difference between torture and execution. Is that what we're really talking about here this morning? Torture or execution? This is torture sometimes for your flesh. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable. This word also means your spiritual worship. These two words, reasonable service, could be interpreted spiritual worship. And what? Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. You are the transformer. Wah. Right? I'm the new transformer. Well, guess what? Paul's writing this to the church, the Romans. They were probably doing a lot of things really good, and you had some good people in that church. And what did he say? You must be transformed. Present your body as a living sacrifice. You ought to be transformed. Rich, be transformed. Right? Into what? What you aren't right now. You get this?
Well, I am. Everything I'm going to be.
Go away from me. You bother me. Remember how we started this out? I'm trying to help you out here. Maybe I'm just irritating you. Maybe if I'm not irritating you, I'm not doing my job. Your great wealth has nothing to do with what you're doing right now. What you're doing right now is fine, but your great wealth has nothing to do with what you're doing right now. You must be transformed. You understand? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Embedded in that verse of scripture is you doing something that you can't do right now. Get it? You're gonna be different than you are right now. Right now is fine. I'm good with you. We're all happy. We'll go eat some hot dogs and hamburgers or something later. Yay! Maybe we'll shoot some guns in the backyard. Yippee-yay-yay. But you're gonna be different. If you're not going to be different, then you're not going to fulfill the plan of God. Let's keep reading on here. Be not conformed to this world, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. Who's going to do the proving here? Yeah. You're going to prove what God's good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Who's going to do the proving? You, because you're going to be transformed. I'm telling you, you haven't even begun to scratch what you're supposed to be doing yet. There is a large, huge, say large, huge. A huge step between acceptable and perfect. It's good that people die and go to heaven. Right? Yeah. It's good. All they gotta do is call on the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. That's how I got into this business in the first place. I was in a bad spot. I said, Jesus, and something happened to me on the inside. I got saved. Is that good?
Yeah.
It's good. If I'd have died right then, thought I was, but if I'd have died right then, I would have gone to heaven. That's good. The people up there be going, good, good, good. Welcome, good. But then there's a huge step beyond that. Do you understand? Are you here? There's a huge step beyond good, you got saved, to the acceptable plan of God. You need to get baptized in the Holy Ghost and pray with other tongues. And you need to confess God's word. And you need to start conforming. You transform your life into something that's not just good, but that it's acceptable to God. And if you died right then and you're doing all the acceptable things, guess what? You go to heaven and people go, oh, acceptable, acceptable. Yeah, very good. You get it? That's acceptable. But there's an enormous, huge, large, ridiculously big step between acceptable and the perfect will of God, and few there be that find it. Very few. Are you one of them? And you have to make up your mind. Who did it say is going to do this?
Me.
You're going to present your body. You're going to do it. You're going to prove what it is. So you're going to have to do it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The perfect will of God is embedded in Philippians 4:13. And people think it's just, oh, I can make it through my day at work. Yes. Good. Good. Acceptable. Acceptable. But nobody's got their lighters out. Perfect. Perfect. Or their scorecards, you know, the 10, right? 10, 10, 10. Remember in the Olympics? Maybe I'm the only one here this morning. Maybe I'm the only one not here this morning. There's a large step between acceptable and perfect. The price paid is great. You know, and we have, Rich, we have embedded in religion of Christianity the grace message so ridiculously puffed up. If that's possible, that people will never do what they need to do to prove the perfect will of God. Yeah, it all comes by grace, but it comes by faith. And you're going to have to do something or you're not going to enter the perfect will of God. Or the sovereignty of God's going to come down and swoosh me. He's going to swoosh you? He's going to swoosh you into the perfect will of God? No, it'll never happen. It's not going to happen. Listen to me. It will never happen unless you do something about it. Isn't this a great message?
Amen.
People love this message. I can see why Jesus got thrown off the cliff. He was just yielding to the anointing. Oh, that's right, he didn't get thrown off. Thank you. They were going to throw him off the cliff. He walked right through their midst.
That's right.
Yeah, I like that. See, Jesus was a tough dude. He wasn't some lily-livered wimp. And neither are his followers. Man up. Even the women, men up. Just God, this is good. I'm happy with this. Welcome to Maine, where the men are men and the women are men. No. Eh. Kind of true. God help me. Price paid is great. Do you understand where? I think we're all here. The price to get into the perfect, and you got to. And I'm telling you, there's great wealth there. Is there the difference between doing all right and having your needs met and having abundance and no lack?
Abundance and no lack. Yay.
That's good. That's acceptable. Yay! Abundance and no lack. But is there a difference between that and great wealth? Yes. World-changing wealth. Yes. Shake the White House wealth. Mm-hmm. Jesus is Lord. Time, and this is the other thing. Here, listen. Time in the Spirit causes a ripple effect. Ripple effect. Say ripple effect.
Ripple effect.
Sounds scientific. A ripple effect. Spending time in the Spirit. Remember the last several messages I've preached on were about multiplying your time. Were about taking time. Were about skipping ahead. Mm-hmm. Were about doing things. Why? Where your real work is done. Time in the Spirit. Hello, are you here?
Yes.
Time in the Spirit causes a ripple effect in your life and in the lives of people around you and in your circumstances. Jane, that's why you don't always see it right away. A ripple effect doesn't take place till the ripple. You understand? If you slap some water, did that wake anybody up? If you slap some water, what happens? It goes out, makes a ripple, but it takes a little while for that to affect the place where you slapped. If you do it with some viscous things, you slap hard enough and your hand doesn't even go in the water. Or whatever it is that's, what do you use, cornstarch, I guess. Are we too scientific? I got my bow tie on, I guess I should get some beakers out. Time in the Spirit. I'm telling you this, the Spirit of God told me this. Time in the Spirit causes a ripple effect throughout your life. So it's not wasted time to pray in the Spirit. It's not wasted time to get up in the morning and worship the Holy Ghost. Worship the Holy Ghost. How do you do that? You go, I worship you, Holy Ghost. And then right after that you go, I worship you, Holy Ghost. What do you do after that, Rich? I worship you, Holy Ghost. That's how you worship the Holy. Use your mouth. See, I love that. I love that because that gets me kicked out of 95% of the churches. Time in the Spirit causes a ripple effect in your life, in your business, in your circumstances. Make a big enough ripple. And it'll cause you to leap over and be transformed into the place and person you need to be so you can fulfill what you're called to fulfill. You may even have had a glimmer of a thought of what's over on the other side. But most of us aren't there. We need to go there. It's different. Your great wealth has nothing to do with what you're doing now. You ever see those the skateboarders do it? I saw somebody riding it's like a wakeboard, And lots of times what they'll do is imagine me on a wakeboard without laughing. So I'm on a wakeboard. Do you know what a wakeboard is?
The back of a boat. Yeah.
No, it's a thing you ride around funeral parlors. It's a wakeboard. I'm on the wakeboard. The boat is pulling me. If I want to go up, what do I have to do? I push down. I can push down to the point where I can get myself and my board and everything else to go up in there. Is this right, Eli?
Yep.
Eli knows. But he would know. This makes sense. He's a gamer. He would know. You gotta push down to go up, right? If you want to go high, you've got to push down hard. There's a ripple effect that takes place. Time in the spirit causes a ripple effect on your life. If you make a big enough ripple, it will cause you to go over into the other place you need to be. You'll begin to see it. You'll begin to be transformed. You'll begin to be that person that you're called to be, that you're called to be, that you're called to be. There's a calling, but it's so far and faint that most people don't hear it. They're so busy in their lives and going here and there that the calling sounds like this. I barely heard that. What'd he say? But the closer you get to it, the louder it becomes. Make big ripples. All right. Are we done here? Not yet. Hang on. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 29:11. I'm almost done though. I want to establish one more thing and then we can be done for today. Maybe we'll rename the church of the big ripple. No, don't do that. Who's going to do this? Me? Am I going to make a big ripple? I try every week to splash as much stuff on you as I possibly can. I'm making as much waves and ripples as I can get going. But you're going to have to be the one who learns to ride this wave and make your own waves. When I'm waiting for the wave of God, you may wait for all of your life and die. Ripples aren't made by the waves of God. You make the ripples. Just call me Mr. Ripple. All right, what did I say? First Chronicles 29. We're almost done. You happy?
Yes,
finish up. First Chronicles 29, verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Now remember, I told you that your great wealth. Why would I have said your great wealth? Why did he say great wealth? It's God's wealth and it's in God's perfect plan. And when you're in God's perfect plan, his stuff becomes yours and yours becomes his, right? Just imagine the difference between how much money you have in your bank account to how much money he has in his bank account. That's the leap. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, and all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine, and thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee. Thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is the power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great. Hey, in thine hand it is to make great. Are you getting any of this?
Amen.
And to give strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens. I can do all great things through Christ which strengthens me, because it's through the strength of Christ and not you. The perfect plan of God will be done in the strength of the anointing, in the strength of the word.
Yeah.
Not in the strength of you. And you're going to be a different person because you're going to be transformed. Now, I don't know how to do it. No kidding. You haven't been transformed yet. But when you are transformed, you'll see how to do it. You'll know how to go. You'll know how to flow. You'll know how to be that person you're called to be, because you'll be that person you're called to be. Get it?
Yeah.
Who? We finish it? No. Might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. One thing I wanted to get out here, if I can, just before we end, is the concept of holiness. Most people don't know what holiness is. And I realize I could preach a whole message on this, so I'm not going to be able to develop it where I need to. I could preach many messages on this. But the point is not what you do and don't do. You kicked the bucket. What you do and you don't do. That's what most people think. Holiness is don't smoke. Holiness is don't do this. Holiness is don't... I mean, there's a number of things that we can do, right? Holiness is don't wear your shirts like that or what. I mean, we get ridiculous. We've been down that road. That's not holiness. Holiness in this purest state is the absence of something that corrupts. Are you here? When you hold something that just seems like it's perfect in your hand, like you could go, what could I, like a difference of a guitar. That's not a great guitar, but it works. But if you had took that guitar, I'm just trying to make the concept on, yeah, so you understand it. And then you take that guitar, and then you take one of these perfect, beautiful $300,000 guitars made by hand by, you know, some guru, guitar guru, and you hold it in your hand. Can you tell the difference immediately? Would you be able to tell it, especially if you're a guitar player? You're like, oh, the thing almost sings and it plays by itself. Oh, it's like the golden thing that Bugs Bunny, I'm back to Bugs Bunny, so we're almost done. The golden, and then you pick up a guitar that's even worse than that one, and you go, yeah, just, it's, do you understand? I'm trying to get you someplace. Holiness exists in the perfect plan of God. When you're in, and the leap is great. You understand? It's like gold. If it has some lead in there, it may be heavy, but it's not pure. So you got to refine it, and then all of a sudden, it's gold, and it's worth a lot more. 14 karat gold, 24 karat gold is worth much more than 10 karat gold. I don't know. Am I getting this across at all? But I was thinking about this week as I'm walking around and say, you know, I like to surround. I like to maybe just have a few things that I know is the best, because then because there's something, it says something. You understand? It says something. There's nothing as good as this. And when this is the concept, I don't have the time, like I said. But this is where God is. He's holy. There's no sin in Him. He's holy. There's no poverty in Him. He is wealth. Poverty doesn't exist in there. No lack. I have abundance and no lack. You know what that is? Holiness. Holiness of the plan of God and holiness in the purpose and place of God that He has for you is the perfect plan of God. And when you're there, nothing will be able to come against you. When you're there, nothing will be able to stop you. Because you've been shielded by holiness and the perfection of the Spirit. And He'll take you there and He'll make a way. But you've got to be willing to show up every day. If you don't show up, He leaves you behind and it takes longer and longer to catch up. So don't be one of those that takes so long. Be one that learns your job quickly, your place quickly. And be transformed by the renewing of your mind and the renewing of your mouth. Let the words of your mouth soar on the wings of the Spirit, and they will begin to take you like a hook, dragging you up higher and higher to where no one can touch you. Welcome to my world, says the Spirit of God, where I live and move and have being. That's where you're called to be. That's where I'm called to be. And I'm calling you today. So hear with the ears of your spirit and leave those low things behind. Spend time with me and you will see the great things are about to take place. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Posta kereche. Listwa sanama. Logobro denengivons denimbobo dedeski. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We receive that. I pray over these people right now that they may know the voice of the Lord, that they may know and they have that. Access that right now. Angels, move on them. Cause them to be quickened by that. Shos the best, the priest, the face, the precious.